Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta Airlines tries to give an answer to why they removed a Muslim couple from a flight for no apparent reason, and Southwest pilots say you're fired to their CEO.
Sometimes using an alternative airport can save you some big dollars. Gwen Duncan will join the Travel Guys at 3:20 to explain Northern California airport options.
At 3:35, we catch up with an old friend of the Travel Guys, Ben Schlopik, from the 1 Mile at a Time blog for updates on changes to the American Airlines frequent flyer program and the word on the best credit card for travelers.
Woof! Attention dog lovers! 3:45, we save the best for last with a story about a Westin hotel with an adopt-a-dog program. This is a pretty neat story.
Speaking of dogs, it's definitely the dog days of summer in Sacramento, and we thank you for stopping by to Wag Tales with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's another edition of The Travel Guys, here every Sunday from 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Mark Hoffman, our chief cook and bottle washer. Where did that come from, Mark? That particular line. That's the kind of thing
chief
my mother used to say.
Yeah, that's one of those old-timey things. You don't hear that quite as often, maybe, as you did a few years ago.
Yeah, that says
maybe
something.
Because there aren't as many chief cooks and bottle washers these days.
I guess that says something about my age, huh? Anyway, Mark has such a long title. You know, if you went to Sports Leisure Vacations and you took a look at his signature, it's like founder and president and really nice guy and so forth. How you doing, Mr. Mark Hoffman? Have you settled back in after your long trip to Seattle?
I have, actually, after a great trip up to Puget Sound. And next adventure, which has started today, is a mystery tour. Well, I wish I could tell you where that's going, but as you know, as listeners to this show know, when we head out on a mystery tour, we have to tell you about that after we get back. So week, I will have some great news about the wonderful place that our mystery tour went, where copper once was very big in this country.
Oh boy, that's kind of a
clue.
Kind of a clue.
If you think national parks and copper, and you put those two together, you'll have an idea of where the Sports Leisure Vacations Mystery Tour took off for this morning.
All right. Well, I might have to Google that while we bring people up to date on the travel news. And if you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us. Remember now, you can follow along with the show by simply going to TravelGuysRadio.com. Right there, you'll find links to pretty much everything we talk about on each and every show. All right? Okay, Mark, you ready to see what we got in the travel news today?
Ready to roll.
All right, as we always do at the top of the show, we bring you the latest in the travel news. Mark, let's have it.
Well, it appears here is that we got a little problem for Delta Airlines. They are under fire after a Muslim couple was removed from an international flight in Cincinnati. These folks were scheduled to fly on July the 26th. A crew member allegedly complained to the flight's pilot about the couple's appearance. They had been on the plane. They had boarded early in the boarding process, had been on the plane for about 45 minutes. A ground agent came and said, can you step off? We'd like to ask you a few questions. Bring all your belongings. You're not going to be on this flight. Apparently, a crew member told the pilot that one of the couple was wearing, the lady was wearing a headscarf. She was using a phone. The gentleman, according to the flight attendant, was sweating. And she heard the couple reference Allah, the Arabic word for God. So they were removed from the flight.
Wow.
They were questioned by a French security official. They were put up in a hotel near the airport for the night. Delta paid for the room, and they flew back to the United States the next day. But they, as you can imagine, were not all that pleased about the whole situation. Delta responded by saying it condemns discrimination towards our customers in regards to age, race, and there's a whole list of non-discrimination things here. As a global airline that brings hundreds of thousands of people together every day, Delta is deeply committed to treating all of our customers with respect. Delta continues its investigation into this matter and will issue a full refund of these customers' airfare. a full refund, you think, and maybe something else?
Well, you know, I guess
this is a very, very alarming to me that a flight attendant could, I mean, it's a pretty fine line there between security, don't you think, and getting into somebody, you know, getting into somebody's personal space there?
Boy, I mean, what is that? What kind of a signal does that send to you as a passenger? Be careful that you don't sweat and that you don't mention your God in any fashion. And be careful.
Don't use a cell phone on an airplane. For
and
God
be
sake.
Careful how you dress. I mean, that's taking it a bit far.
I know. I'm sure there's two sides to every story, but I guess that's one that kind of just alarms me a little bit. Here's one that if you fly Southwest Airlines, you're going to need to keep an eye on this one. The Southwest pilots are not very happy with their CEO. It used to be a guy who ran Southwest Airlines for a lot of years. Herb Kelleher was his name. And he was very popular with the people who worked for him. But Herb retired a number of years back, and this gentleman, Gary Kelly, took over. And apparently what the pilots are saying is that the computer meltdown that Southwest Airlines had a few weeks ago, the pilots group for Southwest believes it was caused by the fact that Southwest is too busy buying back shares of their stock in order to reduce the number of shares and support the stock price, when they could be giving their employees a little more money and they could be investing in things like a better computer system and stuff like that. So the reason this is important if you fly Southwest Airlines is this is how these things start. And so you want to keep an eye on the news feeds to see if this goes anywhere else, because the airlines are making a lot of money right now and they haven't been real quick to compensate their employees. So what that tells you is at some point along the way here, we may have some labor problems and you might have some planes that are not flying. So we will keep you posted on the Southwest Airlines. Not only did they tell Gary Kelly, the CEO, that he was fired, they weren't real pleased with the chief financial officer either. Skipping over an ocean to Iceland. Iceland's tourism is being viewed by local Icelanders as a threat, keeping in mind that this small island nation has about 330,000 residents. So in the total population in the country, last year they had about 1.3 million tourists visit the country. Now that's an increase of about 30% in 5 years. This year they estimate that they will have about 1.7 million tourists visit the country, which is about a 30% increase in 1 year.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very popular.
It's a little bit of a problem for a country like Iceland, because as you can imagine, with 330,000 people, now keep in mind that the population of the city of Sacramento, not counting the surrounding suburbs, is about, give or take, 400,000 people. So I'll give you kind of a little bit of an idea. These folks are trying to entertain five times their population with an infrastructure that was only designed for the people who live there. So it's getting the tourists are putting a strain. Of course, you can say, well, they must be making a lot of money and everybody's flocking to the country, build more hotels, create more infrastructure. But the problem, the Icelanders say, is that if we create more infrastructure, we will do it at the expense of the exact things that people are coming to this destination for in the first place.
Let me ask you this as a tour director, mm-hmm. a story like that and the popularity growth of a particular destination, when it starts to go this direction, how do you view that in regards to where you would take sports leisure vacationers?
Oh, wow. People are going to think that was a setup question, but I promise you it was not. Earlier this summer, we actually, Sports Leisure Vacations, had a trip scheduled to Iceland for July of this year. And we canceled it in, late April, early May, which disappointed a lot of people. The reason we canceled it was because the travel company we've worked with previously in Iceland and we were working with this year, told us that we knew we were waitlisted for a couple of hotels. They told us, you are not going to get those hotels, and we don't know what hotels you're going to be in. And a third hotel we were waitlisted for, they couldn't promise us would clear. So we were like, well, gosh, here these people have paid us in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $6,000 to go to Iceland and have this wonderful vacation, and we don't even know what hotels they're going to stay in, and we're 2 months away from departure. So at that point, because our company just does not believe in that sort of an arrangement, we pulled the plug, gave our customers their money back, and said, you know, we'll try to recreate this for next year. But we are finding, Tom, that it's very, it's almost impossible to get bookings for next summer in Iceland because the season is short. And so, no, it's a big problem. And for people who are thinking about an Iceland vacation or who have booked an Iceland vacation with someone, be aware of the fact that the number of people that are coming into the country exceeds the country's ability to handle them. So it's entirely possible that that if you're told that you're a range of three or four hotels, you may end up in the worst of those three or four. So you've got to really be careful. If you're buying an Iceland, a package to go to Iceland, make absolutely certain that all the things that are a part of that package are strongly confirmed before you take off. Otherwise, there might be some disappointment once you get there. It's a great, a wonderful place to go to, but Iceland right now is busting at the seams. Speaking of popular destinations, Tom, that might be busting at the seams, JetBlue is going to be the first airline to fly to Cuba from the United States on August the 31st. They will fly between Fort Lauderdale and Santa Clara, Cuba, three times a week, $99 each way. Flights from Los Angeles, from other cities in Cuba, flights to Havana, and flights from New York to Havana will be coming up this fall. In fact, I think Alaska Airlines is setting up a once-a-week departure from Los Angeles to Havana. So
there's a destination that could suffer the same consequences as
Iceland. Yes, exactly. And, you know, Chris Galloway, who is our Cuba expert and has been a guest on the Travel Guys before, declined to take another group to Cuba this year. It would have been his fourth straight year to go there. But he just said, you know, same deal as Iceland. Can't be sure that the hotels that you really want, that you're going to be, that's exactly where you're going to stay. What about transportation and all of these things? And remembering that Cuba has already had a tourism infrastructure. So Cuba, if you're going, once again, same wisdom, make sure that whoever you're buying the package from is someone reputable, that you can be assured that what you've bought is what you're going to get. And that, Thomas, is your travel news for today. Don't forget, we're going to be giving away a $500 travel card later in the program to a lucky listener, so stay tuned for that.
Coming up in about 3.5 minutes, Gwen Duncan joins us. We're going to be talking about alternative airports that could save you some big bucks right here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, along with Gwen this afternoon. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Good to have you back with the Travel Guys, Gwen.
Thank you.
Gwen has this little travel agency, Cordially Yours Travel, and as a result, you know, we bring her on because she is a travel expert, too.
Thank you.
she's a travel agent. Mark is a tour operator. So those are two very, very different categories. The people who buy travel might not recognize them that way, but those of us who work there do know that. So it's good to have somebody who's always kind of scanning the outdoors there and watching for things that might be important to the people who travel with us. Maybe it's a good deal. Maybe it's just a travel tip to make you a smarter traveler. And today, Gwen has an idea that I think might make you a smarter traveler, not to mention the fact that it might save you a few bucks or more than a few bucks. Gwen, we're going to talk about alternative airports and how using those can save you a tremendous amount of money.
Yes. A lot of people think a little short-sighted, and if they're residents of Sacramento, they may be sitting there thinking they only want to take off from Sacramento, which is okay for convenience if it's only one or two people, and it might matter to them. But if you're really wanting to save money, then it's something that you should consider what we call common-rated airports. And common-rated in the Bay Area would be San Jose, San Francisco, and Oakland. I've thrown in Sacramento because it takes us a short time to get there, and we could save a considerable amount of money for choosing the alternative airport. Just recently, I've added Reno to that because it's the same distance whether you go to Reno or San Francisco. However, if it's bad weather, you wouldn't want to do the Reno one.
That's kind of interesting, Gwen, because I've never heard anybody consider Reno as a departure point for Sacramento before, but when you mention it, it makes perfectly logical sense.
One time it was four of us, and we saved $210 a person leaving from Reno than San Francisco, Oakland, Sacramento, or San Jose. So that with four of us, that was $850. So
well, you should certainly, yeah, exactly. That would pay for a train ticket to Reno, an overnight hotel room, a show, a dinner, and a few dollars at the crap table, even.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do. And anyway, it's fun sometimes to be in Reno.
Okay. Well, for many years, folks, it's not a completely kept secret that fares out of Oakland tended to be a little bit lower than fares were out of San Francisco. Is that still the case?
Yes, actually, Oakland and San Jose are very competitive to each other, especially for Hawaii market. Uh-huh. And then San Francisco, everybody just thinks is cheaper, but it isn't. In fact, I did a study a couple of weeks ago, and this will give you an example. San Francisco to Maui was $598 on Hawaiian. I use the same airline just to give you a good perspective. Uh-huh. From Oakland, it was only $418, so that was $170 difference. And then San Jose was about about $60 difference from Oakland, but it was $170 from San Francisco. Sacramento was the same as San Francisco. So, I mean, we could save from $260, $270 per person just going from Oakland or San Jose.
Let me jump in here real quick and ask the two of you in regards to these, other cities that you can fly out of to Hawaii and so forth. I know we've got people right now listening saying, yeah, that's fine, but how do I accommodate, let's say, a group of a half a dozen in regards to getting there, transportation there, parking or whatever. What do you recommend if you're going to, let's say, fly out of San Jose in regards to transportation and so forth from Sacramento?
Oh, they do have transportation options, and Mark is aware of this, from Sacramento down to the Bay Area. And then if you're having early flights, you want to consider what we call park and flies. That's an option, too. Something you've got to factor in. Is it worth it if you're going to get a lodging the night before to leave, like, 6 in the morning from the Bay Area? But if you're in a group of people if you're saving $800 to $1,000, $150 for a park and fly, and it pays for your parking and everything, isn't too bad.
Well, and also, as you point out, Gwen, somebody who was creative could figure out a way, if they were flying out of San Francisco or Oakland or Reno, to go the night before. Maybe you catch a ball game or a show or something like that, and therefore you kind of sort of combine two getaways.
You're absolutely right. There's one other thing that Ron and I had. In fact, we recently had to do this, and it was a good lesson, too. We had flights round trip from San Francisco, and we got stuck in Chicago, and we wanted to just get home. And then they had flights to Oakland. We're thinking, but our car's in San Francisco. But they have a shuttle, and on a senior rate, it cost us, it was really minimal, like $2 a piece to take. It was like a BART type thing. We left from Oakland, walked right out of the terminal, got on that thing, and it went straight to San Francisco. And we got to thinking about it. And you know, when you say you want to look at, close alternative airports and stuff, some of these have transfers to and from, like to San Francisco and Oakland and San Jose and all these. So you can be a little bit more open on where you come back and where you take off from. You can use a variety of different airports if you want. And we were lucky. We were lucky because that saved us almost 11 hours, actually.
So you might find, what you're saying is that you might choose to go out of Oakland and fly back into Sacramento, because you might find that the fare difference might work.
You can do that, but I'm talking more like San Francisco and Oakland or San Jose. Sacramento, you could do that if you wanted to use some kind of a transfer to get you back. And I would still do it if it was convenient for me, as far as having to wait for a flight that was going to go overnight because they're not flying into Oakland or whatever. I mean, we had some real problems in Chicago, and I just wanted to get out of there. Uh-huh. And they said, Oakland. I said, sure, we'll find our way to San Francisco, and it was easy.
If somebody is starting to buy an airline ticket and they're starting to do this, what's a good way for them to be able, without searching individual airports, is there a way to search several airports at one time?
Sure. In fact, one popular site that I use is Kayak. You probably are familiar with that.
Absolutely,
a lot of people should. And that one, you can say you're open to alternative airports, and it'll show you flying into one and out of another.
That's true.
And it'll tell you how long it takes and how much it is and all that kind of stuff. So you just have to click the thing that says alternative airports.
But doesn't Kayak restrict some airlines, like Southwest?
Oh, yeah.
Tom, some airline websites, like United, if you... you can specify that you want to fly into LaGuardia, or you want to fly into Kennedy, or you want to fly into Newark, or you can just say all New York area airports.
Yes.
And then it will bring them all up with you at the same time. Now, that would only be United. You wouldn't be comparing the others. Kayak would give you a comparison of all of the legacy carriers, but as you have pointed out, Southwest isn't included there, but at least it would be a little bit of a head start.
You can click multi-cities, too. I mean, that's one way to say which airport you want to use. You know?
Well, and the bottom line to making the folks who are listening to this program a little bit smarter is that next time that you're thinking of flying from Sacramento, especially if there's more than one or two of you in the group, you want to at least check out what the other area airports might offer. It's going to be unlikely that San Francisco would be the cheapest. It's probably going to be San Jose or Oakland, perhaps even Reno, but you never know. Of course, one of the ways that you would get around having to do this 2 hours of research yourself is to call someone like Gwen, who for a small fee will do that research for you and would know where to look. So,
you know, one other thing to think about too is that people are flying like into San Francisco, into New York, like you do a lot, to look at the alternative airports to land, because that same theory is true.
Yes, and this is one of the situations where having a professional travel agent can save you a lot of money, because if someone pointed out that, hey, here's a fare that I found that's a couple hundred dollars cheaper, and as you said, especially if you're traveling with a large party, then that starts to multiply into some really big bucks. And if you're a family and you're trying to find an affordable family vacation, saving a couple hundred dollars a person on the airfare might be the difference in having a longer vacation or a little bit nicer. I mean, $200 will buy 2 days admission into Disneyland, I think.
Well, like you said about baseball games and stuff, I mean, I've had people do that. They said, well, let's just go down a day early. Hey, there's a Giants game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and make it an experience, you know, an event.
Make it fun and save some money along the way. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, thank you, as always, for joining us. You can find a link to Gwen's website on TravelGuysRadio.com. And if you ever need help from a professional travel agent, why, we recommend calling Gwen.
You are such a sweetheart. Thank you so much, guys.
Coming up after the news, one of our favorite guests, Ben Schlappig from the 1 Mile at a Time blog, joins us right here on the Travel Guys.
Thanks for joining us. You're in touch with the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon, and it's time to bring back one of our favorite guests, Ben Schlappig. Ben is a blogger with 1 Mile at a Time. Mark, tell us, when was the last time we had Ben on?
God, it's been about a year ago when Rolling Stone magazine made Ben kind of semi-famous by doing a feature story on him. So, Ben, I just kind of left you alone because I figured, you know, now that you were famous, if not rich, that, you know, you'd have a lot of people following you and stuff like that. So it's been a while since we talked. So welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, I always love talking to you guys, so thanks for having me, Mark and Tom. I appreciate it.
When we last left Ben had become a huge fan of American Airlines. One of the reasons was that American hadn't adopted a revenue-based frequent flyer program. And so knowing that that was probably coming, and it has, American has made some changes. Plus, they've just recently, I think we announced on the show a couple of weeks ago that they've devalued their, if you buy a ticket on some of their partner airlines now, you're not getting full credit for that. And so they're really messing with people's, with their frequent flyers. So Ben, as an American frequent flyer, how's the American frequent flyer business?
Yeah, it is not looking so good, unfortunately, anymore. And I think, you know, kind of over the past decade, we've gone from 6 big global airlines in the U.S. now down to 3. And for a long time, the frequent flyer programs looked very different. And at this point, unfortunately, with American's recent changes, sort of the frequent flyer programs of American, Delta, and United all sort of look the same, unfortunately, with very minor differences. So it is a sad day, or sad year, rather, because there is at this point very little differentiation between the airlines and their programs.
So where do we go from here on the frequent flyer programs? Do you think that with the change to requiring people to spend a certain amount of money in addition to earning miles, is that kind of going to settle the whole thing down for a while, or is there something else on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the lesson we can take from all the changes that the airlines have made is that we should just be free agents, really, that we should book the airline that is best for our schedule, that is best for our travel, the airlines that fly the routes we want best, because nowadays the airlines kind of sell the first class seats out from under you anyway. So, you know, upgrades are one of the biggest perks of status. And now airlines would rather often sell upgrades to a non-elite member for $49 rather than upgrading an elite member, you know, as one of their status benefits. So with benefits on the decline, with rewards on the decline, And with the requirements to earn status increasing, there is sort of less of an incentive than ever before to be loyal to an airline.
Doesn't it seem to you, Ben, at this point, one thing I've kind of espoused to people here in recent months is that really and truly, you might want to consider a hotel credit card as your mainline card, because hotel rooms generally, especially if you can get a decent status level with a hotel chain, hotel rooms are generally available in much better quantity than airline award seats. And if you can get to the top of a hotel chain's list, I mean, I don't know, I'm at the top of the Marriott list, it generally gets me a pretty good room when I check into a Marriott hotel. I don't have to worry about fighting a bunch of other people for that room.
All of which is very true. The one thing I would note is that the frequent flyer programs sort of have been devalued in terms of earning miles. On the redemption side, though, it's sort of as robust as it's been before. You can, in practice, still redeem miles reasonably easily and get outsized value. So, for example, you know, redeeming miles for Singapore first class or Emirates first class, that's still quite easy to do. And if anything, I think we're going to continue to see more activity with airlines where there are more opportunities to buy miles, bigger sign-up bonuses on credit cards, kind of all these new opportunities to earn miles in ways other than flying. I think what's happening with the airlines is the way they're viewing it is, why should they give you miles for a ticket you're flying when they're fairly convinced you would fly them anyway? So their planes are full and they kind of look at it as a marketing expenditure, and it doesn't make sense to do that if you would fly with them anyway. So I agree, hotels, it's great that they have unlimited availability, basically, for points, but I think there's still a lot of value with airline programs, unfortunately, just not through earning points through flying.
We're talking with Ben Schlappig. Ben is a tipster. He's a blogger. 1 mile at a time is his website. Ben, in fact, I'm looking at your site right now. We're talking about accumulating points and value. You have a list of what you consider to be the 10 best credit cards offered for August. Why don't you, give us a little bit of a highlight of what that article's about?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think the best way nowadays to earn miles is still through credit cards. So there are a lot of credit cards that will give you big sign-up bonuses with points that I value at, let's say, about $1,000 just for applying for a credit card and completing some minimal amount of spend. So, for example, you know, the Chase Sapphire Preferred offers a sign-up bonus of up to 55,000 points once you complete just a minimal amount of spend. And those points can be redeemed on a variety of airlines. And so there's still a lot of value in that, as much as the frequent flyer programs have otherwise been devalued. And one other thing I would say is that when you're earning miles nowadays, you want to do so in what we call transferable points currencies. So this would be Chase points, Amex points, Citi points. And the reason for that is that you're sort of protected from devaluations. So when American's program gets worse overnight, your points with one of those transferable currencies isn't devalued because there are 20 other programs you could transfer those points to.
For listeners, what Ben's talking about is, for example, if you have an American Express card, American Express points can be moved into miles in a variety of different airlines. So if one airline devalued their program, you could take those American Express miles and or points and put them into a different carrier and perhaps still gain the value that you had lost from your previous attachment. Which card right at this point in time, Ben, if somebody was looking to add a credit card to their portfolio, which one would you recommend?
Yeah, at this point, I think the Chase Sapphire Preferred is the all-around best. So it has a big sign-up bonus. You earn double points on dining and travel, which is what a lot of people are spending money on. There are no foreign transaction fees, so that's great if you're traveling abroad. Yep. I just think all-around it's a pretty good card. It has the annual fee waived the first year, and after that it is $95 per year, which I think is pretty reasonable.
Ben, when we last talked to you a year or so ago, you had abandoned a permanent residence. And because you had run the numbers and decided that if you were only home a half a dozen days a month, why make a car payment and pay the rent and all the other things that go along with having a permanent place, a permanent residence. So let me ask you, are you still a roaming road warrior or do you have a home now?
I am still roaming, but more reluctantly so. I think I'm ready eventually to settle down because I think kind of the things that you take for granted are often the toughest of living in hotels. So, for example, not having access to laundry facilities or a fridge or anything like that, that really is the toughest part, if you can call it that. But it has been a lot of fun, but I'm also ready to slow down.
Yeah, what's the deal with all the hotels now? They used to always have a refrigerator in almost every room, and then they swapped out the refrigerator for the little mini-mart. where if you just touch the top of the beer bottle, it's yours.
And you don't want to pay $13 for a Diet Coke?
Yeah, you know. And now I can understand if they added that as an included, you have a mini fridge and the other, but they've trapped you by getting rid of the mini fridge, and the only thing you have left is the mini mart.
All of which I agree with. They are increasingly trying to monetize just about everything, and that includes the fridge in the room.
Speaking of trying to monetize everything, Ben, I found just here recently what I considered to be perhaps one of the most outlandish fees that a hotel has added on to. The Marriott Hotel at the Seattle airport, which I think is the last place that I saw you, now that I think of it, a year and a half ago.
Yes,
or so.
Actually, yes.
The Marriott Hotel at the Seattle airport has now added a $2 fee to every guest room for the hotel shuttle bus.
Really? For an airport hotel?
For an airport hotel, they have added a $2 fee per room. Now, if you squawk about it and you're a Marriott Rewards member, they will gladly take it off. I didn't allow them to take it off. I just went to another hotel because I told them, unfortunately, if I can't trust you to provide me shuttle bus service without charge, I'm not quite sure where else you'll probably be trying to nickel and dime me once I get there. So I went and stayed in a Sheraton Four Points. But I just wanted to share that with you, that a hotel, a Marriott hotel that is located a quarter mile from the Seattle airport, is charging everyone, doesn't matter whether you use the shuttle or not, you pay $2 extra for the fact that they offer a shuttle to the airport. So
that is as annoying as the resorts that have resort fees where they're charging you for towels in the gym, when that should be a standard amenity, I think, at a resort. So that is, I've not heard that before. That's a first.
So, Ben, before we let you go, tell me something I don't know.
Something you don't know.
Yeah.
That's a toughie. So you know so much, though, so that's a toughie. I would say in general that the best way still to redeem miles, which most people don't realize at least, is for first class. So even if you're somebody who would usually travel economy, take a look at first class award availability. It's usually only marginally more expensive than economy, and you can actually travel in a flatbed in comfort and try some of the world's best first class products.
And that's an amazing tip, Ben, because even if you're flying with mainline U.S. carriers, United, American, Delta, oftentimes when you log on to purchase an award ticket with your miles, you will find that in some cases a first-class seat may be available on certain flights for the same amount as what they're asking for coach. So I agree with you. That is an excellent tip from Ben Schlockbeck. 1 mile at a time is the name of his website. We'll have a link to it on Travel Guys Radio. But if you go and check out Ben's website, it's on boarding area still, right, Ben?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you will find yourself then engrossed in an entire set of websites that will resolve every travel question you've ever wanted to ask, and probably pose a few new ones. Ben, take care of yourself. Hope to run into you somewhere down the road.
Likewise. Thank you for having me, Mark and Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. Coming up in about 3.5 minutes, a story that not necessarily about travel, but about a great hotel that has started a dog adoption program. You're going to love this. It's next on The Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride on this one and only train. We can travel.
Welcome. You're tuned to The Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We've done a lot of interviews on a lot of subjects and taken people in all kinds of different directions. But today, one area that we've never, ever touched on, and that is the opportunity to, while you're on vacation, how would you like to adopt a dog? Mark, introduce our special guest today.
The program has gone to the dogs today. Yeah, exactly.
Woof.
Exactly. Yeah, cute, Tom. Laura Hunt Little is the marketing manager for the Westin Hotel in Palm Desert. Am I right?
Yes. Hi, how are you today?
Welcome to the Travel Guys. Laura, you and your hotel have something that has caught our eye here. It is a wonderful program, a dog adoption program. Tell us a little bit about how a hotel got into the dog adoption business.
Well, we have a wonderful community here in Rancho Mirage. It's a very dog-friendly city in the first place. And not far from us, there is an animal shelter called Animal Samaritans. They are a no-kill shelter, and they're neighbors of ours. And I'm I don't remember the exact details of how our general manager got involved with them, but he was talking to their executive director and said, hey, if we had a dog hosted in our lobby, we could introduce that dog to guests and let them know that the dog is available for adoption. Well, I thought that this was a fantastic idea. So last May of 2015, they tested it out, had our first dog here, and the whole idea is to give the dog the opportunity to meet people and give people the opportunity to meet the dogs and see if there's, you know, a possibility in finding a match.
Sounds like a date I went on one time, a long time ago. Yeah. Okay, go ahead here. Yeah, we got the dogs. Nice. Dogs are making it to the lobby.
We got the dogs. We've got the nonprofit organization. So then we put the infrastructure in place. There's a wonderful network of volunteers. They're staff members, but they volunteer their time as dog Samaritans. It's our dog Samaritan team, and to make sure that the dog has everything that it needs, and the food and water, and it gets walked, and you know, and all of the things that the dog needs are there. We even have, and this is great stuff, we're a dog-friendly hotel. So it fits in our whole brand DNA to have a dog here. But we have the heavenly bed, you know, for our guests. Well, dogs have a heavenly dog bed when they come and stay here. So our hosted dog in the lobby sleeps on the heavenly dog bed.
Do I see something that you guys have also as part of your dog-friendly program there at the Westin in Palm Desert, a yappy hour?
We do have a yappy hour. We have, it's a little chance for folks to bring their dogs and visit on the porch. It's a once a week program. We are having actually a really big event at the end of the summer. We are almost at 50 dogs. Okay, so let me go back. We're in May of 2015. We start this thing up. We're like, well, is this going to work? We don't really know. It was untested. And, you know, people have been so excited about this. We have guests that just love to visit the dogs. We've had almost 50 adopted. So what we decided to do was to celebrate the milestone of adopting 50 dogs, and we're almost there.
50 dogs?
50 dogs. And with the target of this coinciding with National Dog Day, which is at the end of August. And so we're throwing a big yappy hour party that day. It will also be a reunion inviting the dogs who've been adopted through our program to come back and have the owners get to know each other. And because, you know, the dogs are here one at a time, so the dogs haven't met each other before. But all of these owners have a common experience where they've gone home from the Westin with a new family member.
I have to stop and ask now, are the majority of the dogs adopted by people that are there vacationing, or do you have a lot of locals that come in and participate and maybe adopt?
It's a mix. We have about a third of the dogs have gone to homes locally, about a third in the drive range area. So by that, I mean our drive market is Los Angeles and San Diego and Orange County. There's cities on the coast that can drive here easily. And then the final third are far away. We've had dogs go home to Canada. We've had a dog who is in New York City now with a fashion blogger writer who is visiting us. And, oh, this dog is great. He stars on her fashion blog in dressed up outfits, and she's made his own Instagram account. And this dog is famous.
This is absolutely one of the, Tom, don't you think this is one of the coolest things I've heard of in a long time?
This is really unique.
It would be one thing to put a dog in the lobby and, you know, and say, well, this dog is up for adoption and isn't that cute? And maybe the dog gets adopted. But not just one dog. I mean, this is just amazing. I mean, it really is amazing. And it feels to me like something that could happen in other places.
Yes, and actually there have been a couple of other hotels that have taken this model and created their own. I want to say one's in Atlanta, and I think one is in Canada, but I don't have the detail. I don't remember exactly which ones they were, but other hotels have modeled a program similar to ours in their own hometowns.
Laura, let me ask you, does the hotel feel this has been good for business?
You know, we actually had a dog products company. I don't know if they made food. I forget what it was. But considering a bunch of different hotels for their annual conference, and when they found out about our dog program, it was a home run. They're like, oh, well, we're definitely coming there. So, you know, it's not that we are, you know, have a lot of dog business companies constantly looking for a conference hotel, but this particular one you know, it worked really well for that. It works really well with our families who are visiting us over things like spring break. I think we adopted 3 different dogs just over the spring break week because there were so many families here. And the poor dogs, at one point, the dog was taken out for a walk by so many different people. We had to give him a break so he could take a nap.
How long do they stay at your facility before, you know, if they're not adopted, then they go back to the shelter? Or how's that work?
Well, no, we've never had a dog go back to the shelter because nobody wanted them. And we've always had these dogs adopted. They've been here as short as 2 hours and then as long as 2 weeks. But every one of them has been adopted. There have been a couple that have gone back to the shelter because it wasn't a good fit. The dog was either too scared or, you know, there was something and we just didn't want to cause any more stress for the dog. So we said, let's try to figure out a better way to introduce this dog.
Our guest today on the Travel Guys is Laura Hunt Little. And Laura, before we let you go, 2 things I want to ask you. First, I want to ask you, you're at the Westin Hotel in Rancho Mirage. We're talking about a lovely hotel here. So and we will put a link on travelguysradio.com in case you want to know more about the hotel. We'll post the press release that we have about the whole dog adoption thing and stuff, too, in case you're interested. But before you go, Laura, tell us a couple of things about the hotel. And was there a dog maybe who kind of captured your heart, perhaps?
I'll get into the dogs there in a second. The Westin Mission Hills Golf Resort and Spa is beautiful, beautiful acres and acres of gorgeous resort out here in Palm Springs. We have 2 full golf courses. We have a full-service spa. We have gorgeous tennis courts. And it's just a really, really beautiful place, a couple of restaurants, lush landscaping. We've got waterfalls everywhere and 3 swimming pools. So when you come out here, you really have a chance to relax and unwind and just disconnect. It's a great place to be and grateful to be able to be working here on a daily basis.
Like, and a dog in the lobby.
Right. So then we've got our dog program in the lobby. And there was a little dog. Her name was Cherish. And I just fell in love with this little girl. And I wanted to adopt her so much. And we have a senior dog at home who is definitely the alpha dog. And I just couldn't bring a new little energetic doggy home. But I just was keeping an eye on her, and I loved her. I couldn't wait to see somebody adopt her because I knew she needed to go to an amazing home. So this little doggie was visiting with another family, and all of a sudden she walks herself across the lobby and sits down on the feet of a beautiful woman who was checking her parents into the hotel. This woman's name is Teresa. And Teresa looked down, and Cherish looked up at her, and they just had a complete connection. And love at first sight. But the crazy thing is, Teresa was checking in her parents because her husband had just recently passed away, and they were there for the funeral services. And Cherish, for whatever reason, knew that she needed to go to this lady, and she adopted the dog, and she has 4 kids, and the kids and Teresa and the dog have all been healing all together, and it's just was an amazing, heart-wrenching story, and it was, you know, at this time in her life when she, like, I wasn't looking for a dog, but this dog found her and just helped them to heal. Isn't that crazy?
That is a wonderful story. Laura Hunt Little, the marketing manager for the Westin Hotel in Rancho Mirage, talking about the dog adoption story there. They're on their way, getting close to 50 dogs, which is just absolutely phenomenal. Laura, thank you for a few minutes of your time today to tell our listeners about a really, really cool subject. I really congratulate the hotel. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
We love it. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's about a wrap for another Travel Guys. Before we go, Mark, you got some business to do.
I do. We have a $500 Travel Guys gift card from Sports Leisure Vacations to give to Jan Bacich. Jan Bacich, B-A-C-H-I-C-H. Call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday to claim your $500 travel card.
Be sure to visit TravelGuysRadio.com for all the things we talked about on today's show, and we'll see you next week, 3 o'clock on the next edition of the Travel Guys. Stay well. Have a great week.